Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
a nothing in particular podcast as I drive around, I suppose, visiting people, doing little errands, and eventually picking up a very old soldier and seeing if he wants to go to an RSL meeting. Probably, I don't know, he's not too well. So this is hopefully just podcasting around. I'll just get the possibly going to look at how to improve the sound quality of podcasts from the car. So the first person I'm going off to is down the street, is to call in on someone called Tim. I've got to basically an hour and 10 minutes to do all these activities. I don't think I'm going to get them all done. This is going up to Tim's place, then if I've got some time going up. I just can't see myself getting any of this done. The priorities is that there's this trainee who gave me a free haircut. So it's, everyone thinks, oh, this is fair. But I sort of feel that she deserves at least a small box of chocolates or something to share. Now, there's a little bit of a problem that you're an old, lonely man and you're giving someone else a box of chocolates. So I've got to sort of say that out the front, saying, look, this is just appreciation. You won't see me again and not give it to her, but give it to the actual salon to give to her. Because it's just, I don't know, getting something for free is okay, but yeah, I just feel a bit. Alright, Tim's place, I'm just going to move across the road and say hello to him. Okay, recording again. Unfortunately, this old chap, Tim, is not there, and last time it meant that he was pretty sick in hospital, so I hope he hasn't gone downhill again. It's pretty sad if he has. Now, I'm going off to it's sort of like a day for the wounded. This next person I'm going to has broken his knee, splintered his knee in a fall. Going and chat with him and basically give him the lowdown on things. Come across in the book. Oh, Christ. So I'm just passing through Glenbrook Station, which is being slowly built, where the word saying slowly is not slowly is not a fast word, is it? Slowly. I said slowly. Just try and say slowly fast, it doesn't go. But this indeed is the world's most slow station I have ever seen upgraded. It's just these people, when they dig shovelfuls, they dig really small shovelfuls. This person's dug here and it's actually turned down I can't just imagine anyone so slow. And of course I'm waiting here for an age for this little red light. So we've got a little junction, they've got some road work and they've got automated red lights which go here. So look, I'm really probably thinking that I'm just going to break the law here, because I don't know if it really counts. Yeah, so I'll go off and meet this Dennis chap, and that'll give me roughly an hour. I'll give up the buying lunch and also getting the gift for the person who gave me the haircut. So you just got to let that one put through to the keeper. This is one of these things that if you do, there's good intentions just get telegraphed and misheard. So we'll just push that lovely Glenbrook. I'm just going along producing my research paper. So it's just so bloody slow.
Now, some of the things sort of realizing in that the particles of words are too, you know, I need a spreadsheet per clause in the sentence so that each sentence has a simple structure to it. So at the moment, each paragraph is broken up, but really I need a spreadsheet where I can actually put the different sentences together and restructure them and move them around, because this is what I see. And then I listen to it. Listen, it sounds beautiful. You get the structure word, but then you print it out, go ahead, and you can realise that you can restructure it to be a bit more logical. This flows that, flows this. That's what I'm going to have to do in this research paper. So at the moment, I've got a paper on electromagnetism. You would think it would be very simple, but it's not, due to the wealth of misconceptions people bring to the topic. And I'm just coming over here, going to stop at this person's place, see how they are. I'll just drop in on him, or not, as the case. I don't think he's going anywhere. Okay, off to the next adventure. Okay, I'm off to the next adventure because my friend wasn't there, which is probably a good sign that he's been taken to a doctor or something like that, because he's not going anywhere particularly well. It's Tuesday. Oh, I think he's off on some sort of classes, so he must be doing quite well. So this is what I tend to do from country Australia, where you're in country towns and you sort of just check in on people, physically eyeball them, as opposed to phone them up. When you're on these really, really remote farms, it does make a huge difference that someone actually, rather than picking up the phone, actually physically getting on their horse, it's back in the day, or motorcycle, and just, you know, and these are not inconsiderable distances that you'd do checking up on people. Yeah, so we're talking about the process of writing a research paper. Now, mercifully, I've actually not pushing this research paper out, because there's a lot of high content ideas, and it's almost like milling the ideas, sort of scraping them up into half sentences, and then there's someone who's got a death wish wearing complete black going across a pedestrian crossing. I only saw him because I was wondering what is that Alucard doing there, stopping for him. So we've got a limited amount of time to do this next thing. So what we're looking at is research papers, and how do you cope? How does research develop outside the flow of a research institution? So a research institution, there are people researching, there is a topic, there everything is built towards research. When you're outside a research institution, you really basically having to do everything. There's not this natural sequence of things where you have reports to write, conferences to go to. Essentially, you do something, and it's uncalled for. There is no no context for it. So you are out of context. You have to then provide the overhead to provide your own context. So eventually you start writing these research papers, and the research papers are really full of conversations you have with the non-existent work colleagues you don't have, sort of, and so it's got a lot going there. Now, there's some plus points and some minus points. The plus points are that the research papers are sort of like this, they're like little huskies,
ideas, a research paper, a little embryonic husky, and they go out and pull your research sled along as you research and develop. You have these sort of phantom fights, which people are sort of expecting a simple response, but there's all this ducking and weaving sort of that I suppose I should actually say, given that it's that it is produced in a vacuum, you have to look at what you can produce, answer the existent problems, strategized from a vacuum. What is the solutions it generated when you're not in contact? So you've got a syllabus which is wild and out of control. You're building something which is in control or scientifically correct. So the syllabus is scientifically incorrect. At almost every microscopic level, it's incorrect. And you're building something separate. So the overall strategy is that neither the two will meet, but when they do meet, you are obviously, you can predict that there's going to be this angst that someone will on one hand say, I want to stick with what I've had, or the system that works. On the other hand, I recently want to see, there may be people who go ahead and sort of who want to know what the scientific paper is, or the science analysis is between them. Now, it's sort of like equipping a British spy and dropping them into France in World War II. You equip them with various incidents because you plan ahead for what may happen, and sort of a malice of forethought, that you have an idea of what may happen, or a sequence. It is really an area outside scientific and daily logic. You fulfill a customer's orders, you write a research paper based on facts and requirements. And this is, given that it's sort of like this next generation chess move, so most people are used to actually doing one simple move and getting a response. If you are blocked several step chess moves ahead, you really have to actually plan or foreshadow multiple step moves, and essentially, I really have to actually get that particular point across. We don't want to go up to Malkara Road. That is that not only is there research, but there's also steps ahead that you have to provision for and get going. It's sort of like this. If you like the idea, the difference between a research scientist and an explorer or an entrepreneur, the idea is that you. Oh my grandfather, you. So I'm just checking that I'm staying alive here. This is quintessentially outside research. It's sort of like research plus. Not only are you researching at that level of what the device does and how it does it, but you're also researching it strategically, how it gets interpreted, and how sort of fireproofing it from rejection. And that's really, if you are rejected and are on the outside, all you can do is plan on how to get things done. It's going to be, I really feel this podcast has come to the end at this point in time. So just summarising it again, checking in on mates who are scarily ill or pleasantly absent, then reviewing a research paper. And the idea is that this is research paper incubated without external inputs. It's like if you put someone on a desert island and say write a research paper, you'll get this type of crap coming out. And similarly, on a desert island, a lot of things are theorized on a theoretical launch, given that there's no access, a theoretical launch. And so this is going to be, all this complexity is a harder thing to do. So the average research paper is about the research and it's finished. This is about the research and it's finished, but it's also expanded. So I don't know how to actually say that. It's necessarily expanded to get the greater scope. So the scope has been expanded on two levels. One is such that you cover every eventuality, and the second level is that it's armored or given features which will proof it against rejection. That is, it won't stop it being rejected, no, but it will mean that it doesn't get thrown out. The difference between set aside and thrown out, let's try and find that fine line where you know that there's actually more depth in it. So you tend to throw out an old biscuit container, but not an old computer container, because you think, well, perhaps I might have a use of it in the future. So that's the major aspect that I'm trying to get to in this research paper. And you can imagine this is doubly hard. One is the scrambled writing and the scrambled background it's going to, and the scrambled time frame. So there's a sort of several layers of scrambling which have to be unscrambled. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.